Luke 12. We're still in verse 37. Yesterday we finished, or at least I was finished, in talking about a servant. Anybody have any thoughts about the servant and servanthood? Do you think there's an option?
There's a lot of peace in being a servant.
One who gives himself to another without regard to himself or any of his own interests. That's a disciple. Well, that's just for certain people to do that. No. All right. Every person in the body of Christ is a servant.
Now, I was talking about offices right now.
But the point of it is, you can be a servant and have your own interests. The bond servant has no interest of his own. No, essentially, he has no life. All right. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat or to food, and will come forth and serve them. We're going to spend some more time on this watching, because that's everything. Watching is not a good translation of the word, because it looks like you're looking at something. It's a vigilance. It's a watchful attentiveness. It's nothing else interferes. It's not going to Bible study and then walking out the door and forgetting it. It's watchfulness to the nth degree. In Greek, it's Gregorio. This whole section that we're studying, there's whole bunches of different words for this attentiveness, this making sure the garment isn't spotted by the flesh. Anyway, go to Matthew 24. Oh, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the whole purpose of him coming. His next appearance is for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
All right. And we'll come forth and serve them.
I mean, that's the surprising part. That's the first place I've seen in it where he's serving at the marriage supper of the Lamb, including in addition to getting married. But it just emphasizes his servanthood. All right, Matthew 24. Verse. Oh, no wonder. I was in the wrong verse 23. Verse 36. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be? Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered this house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, how is it possible to live like that? We've talked so many times over the years about how is it possible to live by taking no thought? How is it possible to live by being careful for nothing? How is it possible to live in a state of continual watchfulness, attentiveness? Well, I promise you, if you don't do that, there will be no zeal. Because you think there's time. And so, because you think there's time, then you're continuing on with your own life. Discipleship is 100%. Let's look at Philippians 3. First part of the chapter 3, he talks about how he was a Jew of the Jew, a Benjaminite, just touching the law. He couldn't get any better. Well, let's start verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or mine own rightness. Righteousness sounds religious. It's my own rightness. Which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And this is the one I wanted to reference. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's not a very attractive thing to do. I woke up, I thought I was the biggest dumbass in the universe after a few days of living like I did. This can't be right. It's got to mean something else. I Yeah, and that's why I spent all those years studying, not to try to learn something, but to try to prove that what I had seen was wrong. There's got to be a little left for me in there. Anybody have any thoughts about it? Suffering the loss of all things and do count them but dumb.
It's all about love. If you've seen him, there's nothing to compare. All comparisons go out the window. And if that's really what you're seeing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when you said that, the statement Christ made when he was transformed. About the transfiguration, when I don't know if he made it, but that for the joy,
instead of the joy,
which means instead of the joy set before him, you know, he went to the cross because he had, you know, he had the love of what he saw.
Yeah, love of God, love of the bride, yeah, was so much greater than himself.
Yeah.
Go to Mark 14. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. They had finished the Passover supper, and then they sang the Hallel. They did it as they were walking from Mark's house to the Garden of Gethsemane. So as they were singing Psalm 113 to 118, Christ, he was probably leading the singing, and yet he knew what was just about to happen. All right, let's go to let's start in verse 32.
Of 14?
Yeah, Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he had returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they drank the 4 cups of 10 ounces each, a much stronger wine than we have. The When we returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, and let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Then came Judas with the temple guards. You know, some might say, well, they slept when they went to sleep and didn't watch because the Holy Spirit didn't come yet. All I know is, I can only speak for myself, is I feel this urgency to do nothing but watch attentively. I pray that's shared with you. Let's go to Revelation 3.
What does Abba, Father, mean? Abba.
Abba is a very intimate form. It's Daddy.
Daddy.
Revelation 3. This is repeated all over Revelation, but let's just read it. It's again unto the church of Sardis, chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And it's in verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Watch? Are you watching? Are you looking attentively at this mystery? Or do you get consumed with the ordinary things of life?
I was thinking about when we had a homeless person call recently. Just, you know, kind of said, I'm sorry we don't have a place. In fact, I did, but then I kind of dropped it. And the next day, just something kept saying, you know, push you a little further. it's a hassle trying to help somebody find a place that doesn't have a place in Dallas. There are not many places in Dallas that have a, they kind of want you to sing for your supper, and they're not very hospitable. But I'm just thinking about how I almost didn't follow up on
it. No, it's Teresa.
And I think that has to do partly with watching. Anyway, I'm just remembering when I introduced her to Sandra, and we had just gone through. I had taken her over to a place that was. This guy, all the kind of a hard ass, and he was going to, maybe rent a room for $400 a month or so. But then we got over here, and she talked to Sandra, and when she got in the car, she just started crying. I'm like, wow, Sandra's going to give me a room, and I don't have to pay anything. It's just,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It made me think of that. Almost not doing anything.
Yeah, when she came to Purim, and she was just a bundle of joy the whole time. She knew that Sandra had offered it, but she hadn't gone out there yet, so. There's this the vow of poverty that has really nothing to do with money. It's whatever I own that you need to use, you can use. Whatever I own that you need to have, you can have. Whatever you need that I don't have, I'll help you get it. Now, it's a mindset that you lose yourself. And what a blessing it is to lose yourself. All right, take it, big guy.